prayers. Take your Bibles, if you would please, and open with me to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew's Gospel. And we come to Matthew's account of the birth of Jesus Christ. And if you didn't know, it is not as popular as Luke's. Not as popular as Luke's account. As I read Matthew's account in Matthew 1, 18 to 25, I want you to think about what is the focus here. Do you know what it is? What is the focus of Matthew's account of the birth of Jesus Christ? Verse 118, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, 'Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which is translated, 'God with us.' Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Familiar story, right? Only what's the focus here? Because there is no mention of Caesar's decree. There is no mention of no room in the inn. There's no mention of the angelic host singing glory to God in the highest. There are no shepherds watching their flocks by night. There is actually no babe in a manger wrapped in swaddling cloths. Not mentioned. Among other things which are spoken of in Luke's account. So what is the focus here? Yes, this is about the birth of Jesus Christ, but what about his birth exactly? Well, you may have noted, this is about the fact, the reality, the great truth, that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. In fact, you should retitle today's message, "The Virgin Birth of Jesus Christ." This is about the birth of Jesus Christ, but it is about the truth that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. And that truth is vitally important. Why? Why? If you were to do a Google search on why is the virgin birth important, you would find many lines of thought. Some would say, well, the virgin birth is important because that was necessary for Jesus to be sinless. But it wasn't, actually. Won't prove that now, but it wasn't necessary. God could do anything, right? God could have a sinless person come from mankind. In fact, Jesus was born of a woman, and Mary was a sinner. Some say, well, it's necessary to prove his deity. No, not necessary to prove his deity. Why? I did not find anyone who followed the line of thinking that I'm going to have you follow this morning. I want to show you why the virgin birth is so important. And then I want to show you why that's important. And then I want to show you why that's important. So if you want an outline, it's why, and why. Very good. Just checking to see if you're paying attention. So first of all, why was Jesus Christ born of a virgin? Let's find out why. Verse 18, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit." When did Mary find out that she was pregnant? After she was betrothed, but before they came together. If you didn't know this, that's a serious problem. A little bit like finding out that you're pregnant while you're engaged. And this was especially a problem for Joseph as her husband. Betrothal was sort of like engagement, but it was far more serious and far more binding. A woman betrothed to a man was considered his wife. And if infidelity was discovered during the betrothal period, it was considered to be adultery, punishable by death, according to Deuteronomy 22. Well, Mary was found to be with child before she and Joseph came together, suggesting what? That she must have been with another man. What other explanation could there be, right? You know, we're told that this was of the Holy Spirit. They didn't have that in their Bible. They didn't have anything in writing that said anything. And so the natural inclination of people who found out about this was to assume that Mary had sinned. By the way, was there evidence against her to suggest that she was guilty of wrong? Absolutely. Yeah, she's pregnant. But was she guilty of any wrongdoing whatsoever? Absolutely not. And yet, did people judge her? Yes, they did. In fact, it's interesting that in John 8, we find that 30 years later, still many people were saying of Jesus that he was born of fornication. That means born of sexual immorality. For 30 years, that was the rumor, that he was a child born out of infidelity. But it was false. Just a side note by way of application, be careful how you judge. In most cases, you do not have all the facts. Be careful how you judge, lest you yourself become guilty and judged for unrighteous judgment. Mary was innocent, and her babe was of the Holy Spirit, but Joseph didn't know that right away, so he began thinking about what he should do. Look at verse 19. Hope you got your Bibles open. If I didn't tell you, open them and follow along. Notice verse 19, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, that means he was a believer, he had trusted the Lord in response to his word, and therefore he wanted to please God. Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, what that means is that he did not want to expose her to public shame. You might think, well, what law is he applying there? The law of love. Okay? He's applying the law of love. In love for her, he doesn't want to expose her to public shame. You might also say he's applying the golden rule, which was also in the Old Testament, treat others as you would be treated. So Joseph is thinking, what should I do? He doesn't want to expose her to public shame, so he was of a mind to put her away secretly. The word put her away is literally release her. In other words, release her from this betrothal. And it's the word found elsewhere, translated divorce, because separating during betrothal was considered to be a divorce. Now, you might think, well, what about that law that you mentioned that says if a virgin was betrothed to a man and yet she was found to have been with another man, then she was to be stoned to death? Why not do that? Do you know the answer? It's because the law required that both the woman and the man be brought to the city gate. Can they do that? No. Can't do it. They could not possibly do that. There was no other man. So this was a dilemma for Joseph, and it was so difficult that he was thinking about it in his sleep. How many, quick show of hands, make sure you're paying attention. How many of you think of things in your sleep? Yeah, a lot of you didn't sleep last night because you were thinking of things in your sleep. I had that too. Verse 20, but while he was thinking about these things, stop there, we're going to find out from verse 24 that he was asleep while he was thinking about this. And so he's continuing to think on this. Proverbs 15:28 says, the heart of the righteous ponders how to respond. Evidence that Joseph really is a just man. He didn't run out and tell everyone what had happened. He didn't run out and make some hasty decision. Proverbs 19:2 says that it is not good to be without knowledge, and he who makes haste with his feet sins. And there were things that Joseph didn't know. So he's thinking about this. He's afraid to take Mary to be his wife because he's not sure that that would be pleasing to the Lord. But behold, verse 20, behold, look at this. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Stop there. What are angels? Best place to go in Scripture for that is Hebrews 1:14. Angels are ministering spirits, serving spirits, sent forth to minister to those who will inherit salvation. This angel of the Lord is, of course, ministering to Joseph, but not only him. This angel is ministering to Mary and to everyone around them, and this angel is ministering to you. This angel was sent forth to minister to you and to me, to reveal the truth about this child. Look at verse 20. Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary for your wife. Suggesting he was afraid to take to him Mary for his wife. He wasn't sure it would be pleasing to God, because it seemed that she must be guilty of adultery. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Literally, out of the Holy Spirit. Jesus was a child not begotten by man. The previous list in the genealogy says, you know, Jacob begot Joseph. There's all these husband or father begot a child. That's never said of Jesus. Instead, he was begotten of the Holy Spirit, born of the Holy Spirit. The angel goes on to say, verse 21, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Which means what? Jehovah is salvation, or Jehovah saves. Jehovah, Almighty God, is salvation, or Jehovah, Almighty God, saves. Now, in Hebrew culture, did names mean things? Yes. Especially if God was the one who gave the name. What does this name mean? It means Jehovah saves, or Jehovah is salvation. Why give Jesus the name Jehovah saves? Verse 21. You shall call his name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Who will save his people from their sins? Jesus. Wait a second. I thought that there was only one Savior. I mean, you go back to the Old Testament, and that's crystal clear. Isaiah 43:11. I am the Lord, that is Jehovah, God Almighty, and besides me there is no Savior. Now the angel comes and says that Jesus is the Savior. How can that be if there's no Savior besides Jehovah? Jesus must be Jehovah. Oh yes, that is why God gave him that name. There's a good thing for you to do if you see Jehovah's Witnesses in the mall, or at the fair, or somewhere standing with their display. Go up and say, why did they name the child Jesus? And in their Bible it says, there's a footnote in the Jehovah's Witness Bible that says, Jesus means Jehovah is salvation. You say, listen, the only reason God would give such a name to Jesus is that Jesus is Jehovah, he is God Almighty. And he is the only Savior. There is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Acts 4:12. So the angel reveals to Joseph that this babe shall be called Jesus because Jesus will save the Lord's people from their sins. But what's our question? Our question is why? Why was the birth of Jesus like this? Why was it that after Mary was betrothed to Joseph, but before they came together, that she was found to be with child of the Holy Spirit? Why was he born of a virgin? Verse 22. So all this was done. Now stop there. All what? Everything we just read. But especially the fact that Mary became pregnant after they were betrothed, but before they came together. This was done, here's the answer why, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. So here's our first question. Why was Jesus Christ born of a virgin? Answer. He was born of a virgin so that this prophecy of Isaiah 7:14 would be fulfilled. That's why. God wanted to fulfill the prophecy of Isaiah from Isaiah 7:14. That's why Jesus was born of a virgin. Next question. What's the next question? Why? Why was it so important that Jesus be born of a virgin to fulfill Isaiah 7:14? Well, to get that answer, you have to turn back to Isaiah 7:14. Turn there, if you would, please. Turn briefly to Isaiah 7. And this is fascinating. In Isaiah 7, we have the words of the prophet Isaiah to a king of Judah named Ahaz. Was Ahaz a good king or a bad king? Anybody know? Bad king. Good guess. I mean, you had a very high chance of guessing properly if you guessed bad. Ahaz was a bad king. 2 Kings 16, don't turn there, but 2 Kings 16 says, he did not do what was right in the sight of the Lord, indicating that he was an unbelieving king. He was an unbeliever. Well, as an unbelieving king leading a lot of unbelieving people, Ahaz and the house of Judah were about to be attacked. Got any warriors here? Any warriors? We got a few warriors, yeah. Well, they're about to be attacked. And it wasn't a happy time. Notice verse 1, Isaiah 7:1. It came to pass in the days of Ahaz, the bad king, son of Jotham, son of Uzziah, king of Judah, that two other kings, Rezin, king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, went up to Jerusalem to make war against it, but couldn't prevail against it. So two other kings with their armies come against Ahaz and Jerusalem. They didn't succeed the first time around, so guess what? More troops. That's what happened. They gathered more troops. Verse 2, it was told to the house of David, saying, Syria's forces are deployed in Ephraim. In other words, Syria is bringing more armies. And so his heart and the heart of his people were moved like the trees of the woods are moved with the wind. If you ever sat out in the forest, when the wind is blowing strong, these trees are bending and they're about to break. That's where Ahaz and the people of Israel are. They're about to be attacked. The first attempt has failed, but they're regrouping, meaning they're more intent this time. They're more committed. And this time, the kings with more armies are coming against them. They're in trouble. And guess what? This is about to be a punishment for their sins. But God is very gracious. Notice what the Lord does. Verse 3. The Lord said to Isaiah, go out now to meet Ahaz, you and Shear Jashub, your son, at the end of the aqueduct from the upper pool on the highway to the fuller's field, and say to him this. Here's what Isaiah is supposed to say to Ahaz when he's scared to death that they're going to be attacked and overrun. Say to him, take heed. And be quiet. It's like saying, settle down. Don't fear. Stop being afraid. Stop being faint-hearted because of these two stubs of smoking firebrands and the fierce anger of Rezin and Syria, the son of Remaliah. Because of Syria, Ephraim and the son of Remaliah have plotted evil against you. In other words, stop being afraid of these two. You should not be afraid, and I'll show you why. Look at verse 6. Here's what these two kings were saying. Let's go up to Judah and trouble it. We'll make a gap in the wall for ourselves, and we'll set a king over them, the son of Tabal. In other words, we're going to get rid of the Davidic king, and we're going to put up another king who's not of the line of David. Now, is God going to let that happen? Do you know your Bibles? God had promised that that couldn't happen. And yet this king doesn't believe that. He probably doesn't know his Bible, and he's scared to death. And so the Lord sends a prophet saying, stop being afraid. It's not going to happen. Look at verse 7. Thus says the Lord God, it shall not stand. It will not come to pass. Not going to happen. And then he says, the head of Syria is Damascus. The head of Damascus is Rezin. That's as high as it goes. Right? Within 65 years, Ephraim is going to be broken. It's not even going to be a people. The head of Ephraim is Samaria. The head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. That's as high as it goes. But listen, the head of Judah is Ahaz, and the head of Ahaz is whom? The Lord. Ahaz, stop being afraid. Stop being unbelieving. And that's the message. But now notice verse 9, last line. Verse 9, Isaiah 7:9. If you will not believe, then for sure you will not be established. You know what that means? It actually rhymes in Hebrew. It's kind of like, if you will not confide, then you will not abide. Or someone says, trust or bust. Or someone says, if you will not have faith, then you will not stayeth. I don't know. I guess that's old English. In other words, listen to me, believe or else. Do you know that that is a message throughout the Bible? Believe or else. It's not like, well, it's up to you. Be a good choice, but, you know, no big deal if you don't believe. No, it's believe or else. You know why? Because unbelief makes God a liar. Believe or else. Did he believe? No. Ahaz did not believe. So now look at verse 10. Very gracious. Moreover, the Lord spoke again to Ahaz, saying, ask a sign for yourself from the Lord your God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. Look, ask for a sign, and I'll give you a sign so that you might believe. Very good. Would he do it? No. He doesn't believe. Verse 12, but Ahaz says, I will not ask, nor will I test the Lord. Well, the prophet didn't say test the Lord. He said ask for a sign, and he won't do it. That, beloved, is unbelief. Not a good thing. But I'll tell you what, it's good for us. You know why? I'll tell you why. Verse 14, now take a look. Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give... Yeah, now it says you. He's not talking to Ahaz anymore. It's not you singular. In the Hebrew text, it suddenly switched to the plural. I will give y'all. I will give all of you, and this is not to Ahaz, this is to the whole house of Judah. And to all the readers, that's us, to all the readers of Isaiah's prophecy, I will give all of you, whoever hear this or read this, I will give you a sign. Why? For the same reason, that you might believe. That you might believe. The Lord will himself will give you a sign. Here it is. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Turn back now to Matthew chapter 1. First question, why was Jesus Christ born of a virgin? Answer, well, he was born of a virgin so that this prophecy would be fulfilled. Second question, why? Why? In other words, why was it so important that this prophecy be fulfilled? Answer, so that you might believe. The prophecy is a sign given so that you might believe the truth about Jesus and who he is. Look at what it says, 1:22. All this was done so that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet Isaiah, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which is God with us. We got one more question, right? Why? Why is it so important that you believe that Jesus Christ is Emmanuel, God with us? Answer, so that you might be saved. So that you might be saved. Let me put it together. You know why Jesus was born of a virgin? It was so that you might be saved. Well, how do you get that? Jesus Christ was born of a virgin so that the prophecy through Isaiah might be fulfilled. The prophecy through Isaiah was a sign so that people might believe the truth about who Jesus is. And God wants people to believe the truth about Jesus because he wants them to be saved. That's why. Which tells you that all the way back in Isaiah 7:14, God's intent was to save people from their sins. And to that end, he gave a sign that Jesus Christ would be born of a virgin and would be called Emmanuel, God with us. And yet, you know how many people hear the Christmas story, but do not believe that Jesus Christ is eternal God? Millions. Millions of people hear this story every year and do not believe that Jesus Christ is Emmanuel, God with us. Listen to me. The only way that you can be saved from your sins is if you believe in Jesus Christ, who is Jehovah Almighty God. He is the only Savior. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And so that you might believe this truth, God gave a sign. And that sign is the virgin birth. You know, I had the great privilege of speaking to an elderly man this week who does not believe in Jesus Christ. And he is near the end of his life. And at one moment in our conversation, he made mention of hell. He made mention of this himself. And he said, well, that's where I'm going. I asked him if he knew who else is going to be there. Do you know? I asked him to listen to the list of people who are going to be in hell and whether or not he would like to be there with them. Cowards. I asked, do you like cowards? He said, no, he doesn't like cowards. He's a man's man. Do you like abominable people? People who do disgusting sins that make people sick. They're so terrible. That's who's going to be in the lake of fire. Murderers, sexually immoral people, sorcerers like drug dealers and drug addicts, idolaters, and all liars. These will all have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. But there's one I didn't tell you. The cowardly and the unbelieving. People who reject Jesus Christ as eternal God will have their place in the lake of fire. And you know what? God is such a loving and merciful God. He doesn't want any single one of you to go there. He doesn't. That's why you're here this morning. That's why he brought you here That's why he has me preaching this message. It's why he gave the sign of the virgin birth. The God of heaven wants you to believe in Jesus Christ. And so the application is, do you believe? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Is there evidence that shows that? My wife often puts up a bulletin board that says, is there enough? If you are convicted of being a Christian, is there plenty of evidence against you? I hope that there's evidence in your life that you truly know Jesus Christ as eternal God. But if not, then may today be the day. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this morning. It's been so full of reminders of Christ, who he is, and why he came. But we do thank you, Father, for this great sign of the virgin birth and for the reason behind it, that you are a Savior desiring to save people from their sins. Father, if there is anyone here today who does not have Jesus Christ, who has not been forgiven of his sins or her sins, be merciful today. May today be the day of salvation. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.